Are you as well up on the law as you should be? You can test yourself by joining us for The Law Game. We have a panel of well-known personalities who will judge a selection of law cases and attempt to tell us who is on the right side of the law. Here to keep them in check and to pronounce sentence is your chairman, Shaw Taylor.
Hello, we're back again with another collection of fictitious cases, all based on real ones, which were decided on the same points of law. Now, if you notice us deviate a bit from strict court procedure, that's just to speed things up and get in as many cases as we can. This is our eighth series, but if you're joining for the first time, let me explain. Our resident repertory company will act out each dramatization until I stop them with this bell. That means I've given the panel enough time and enough information on which to base their judgment. I'll be challenging them to say which side they think won and on what legal grounds. Each of them starts off with 50 points. They can bet as many of those points as their confidence dictates. I will match their points if they give me the winning side, and I'll give them odds of 2-1 if they give me the right reasons. That's how the game is played. Now meet the players. Tonight's panel is Sandra Dickinson, Matthew Kelly, and Fred Housegirl. Sandra Dickinson, one of the best features of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, resident dumb blonde of so many comedy series. Have you ever had a brush with the law at all?
I had a near brush. When I was at university, I was into avant-garde theater, which is now very passé, but we did a nude version of Peter Pan. And they closed the show after the first night, and they said that if we did it again, we'd be in the clink. This was just prior to my very first visit to England, so I decided I wouldn't go on again.
You wouldn't like to do an audition? I mean, it's radio. Nobody can see it. Now, Matthew Kelly, one of those daredevil connivers for Game for a Laugh. Now, you must sail fairly close to the wind, or at least to the law from time to time. Have you ever had any trouble with the law?
Well, I'll tell you a tale about being helped by the law.
Oh.
This is a very sad tale, but it has a happy ending. We've been burgled 4 times. And everything has gone except the record player. And it's a terrible old record player. And we hope against hope that every time we're burgled, this record player will go, but no, it never goes. Well, there's no point in buying a new one, you see, because it'll only get stolen.
Oh, exactly.
So we're waiting for the old one to go. So we finally got helped out by the law.
Oh.
A young constable suggested the last time that we should put signs at all the doors and windows saying, this way to the record player.
Well, it could be your lucky night. I think there's a queue outside your place now. Fred Housegirl, regular feature of London's Weekend Friday Night 6 o'clock show. You were last year's winner of Mastermind. Now, your expertise in general knowledge, does that include law as well? Or as a taxi driver, have you ever fallen foul of the law?
When you drive a cab at Heathrow for 7 years, you don't have so much of a brush with the law as end up as an Addis salesman. And I always remember one particular instance. Actually, the police helped me out. It was quite good. I've been driving a cab about 3 weeks, and I picked up this very attractive woman who turned out to be a trifle eccentric, and she asked for Liverpool Street Station. As we drove down the ramp to Liverpool Street, I happened to look in the back of the cab. Now, there's a law that says you're responsible for what goes on in the back of the cab, but you mustn't look. And she'd taken all her clothes off. And there was this very attractive nude in the back of the cab, and a police officer walked up to the cab, and I said, look, I've got a bit of a problem. So he looked in the back of the cab, and he knew her. He said, oh, okay, Maggie, how'd you get? And he dragged her out. No, she was much younger than that. I could tell. And he just threw his cape over, and he said, all right, drive. I said, no, I haven't got my fare. He said, well, if you can locate her pockets, Governor, you dip her.
We've had a nude Peter Pan, a nude passenger in Fred's cab. I'm feeling a bit overdressed here tonight. Well, now, you've heard from our panel, so let's move on to hearing the versatile voices of the Law Game Repertory Company as they lead us into our first case. This one started when a woman who was waiting for a coach at a coach station found a very expensive diamond-studded brooch on the floor of the lady's toilet. Now, not surprising, she was very excited, and she rushed out to tell her husband about it.
Look what I just found, this brooch. Look, it's got real diamonds. I'm sure they're real.
Where did you find that?
Shh, not so loud. It was on the floor in the ladies' loo. Well, it was sort of hidden under a pipe. Well, it must have fallen off somebody's coat and got kicked there.
It probably belongs to someone here in this waiting room.
No, it's obviously been there for days. It was covered in dust when I found it. Oh, but what a sparkle! It's got to be worth about £2,000.
Yes, and some poor woman's probably been going mad for days trying to find it. We better hand it in, love.
Hand it in? What for? Look, the woman who lost it can't be all that poor. Anyway, she'll have it insured.
You're not suggesting we keep it.
Well, why not? Who's going to know?
We'll know. That's stealing by finding.
Roger.
And how do you know the person that lost it is rich? Rita, we've got to hand it in.
Well, why shouldn't we? Well, after all, it was me who found it. Well,
you're being silly, Rita. That brooch doesn't belong to us. We're handing it in. I think there's probably a reward for finding it anyway.
Well, suppose no one claims it and the owner can't be traced. Well, then what?
Well, that's not likely to happen, but if it did, then after 3 months, it's ours. Then you would get to keep it.
All right. We'll hand it in, and I'll just pray no one claims it.
Don't go building your hopes up. Now, I'll take it to that man at the ticket desk.
Well, make sure you get a receipt, and he takes down our name and address.
Yes, I'll go.
Five, six, four, two.
Rita, it's me. I'm calling from the coach station. You're not going to believe this, but...
No one claimed the brooch.
That's right.
Oh, fantastic!
Well, not exactly. The coach people sold it yesterday for £1,800.
They sold it? Hey, they can't sell it. It's mine.
Not according to them. The official I spoke to said it was found on their private property, so it's theirs.
Rubbish. There's no way you can call a waiting room of a coach station private property.
That's what I said. But he showed me a sign by the door that says anybody but bona fide passengers or people meeting passengers are trespassing. So, according to them, it isn't a place open to the general public.
Well, I still say that's got nothing to do with it. Look, I've waited 3 months for either the brooch or the reward money, and I'm not going to be cheated out of it. You tell them that either they hand over that £1,800, or we'll take them to court.
All right, but they're pretty adamant about it.
Yes, well, so am I.
Right, panel, now here's a good one to sharpen your teeth on. I will tell you this. The coach company stood by their guns. Rita took them to court to get the value of that brooch. Who won and why? Sandra Dickinson, what do you think?
Well, it seems to me that despite the fact that she didn't really want to be honest and hand it in, they did the decent thing.
Right.
And being an eternal optimist, I would have thought that it was only fair that she should have the brooch or the benefit of having found it.
So if you were...
If I were the judge, I would have given the lady maybe half, at least, the value of the brooch.
All right, so you give her half. You think she might get 900
pounds? Cut the brooch in half.
All right, Matthew Kelly, what do you think?
Well, I think that Rita's a devil, isn't she? I don't think she did win the case, as a matter of fact. Because, as a bona fide passenger, if you see on any ticket that you get, it always says, subject to the conditions of the doings, right? Uh-huh. And they never tell you what the conditions are.
Oh.
I think one of those conditions is that they can nick your brooch when they want to. But, if it is private property, that means that if they're entitled to the money from the brooch, I would think they are therefore responsible for everything in that particular area.
Right.
And they always deny that. They always put a little notice up saying that the management is not responsible.
So you feel legally that if that brooch was found on their property, if nobody came forward and said, I lost a brooch, they could rightfully say, that is ours, we may now sell it.
Yes, I do. I think, personally, I would have taken the brooch to the police.
Me too.
I think they were silly to take it there anyway, but I think they were quite right to do it. Well, she's not entitled to the money anyway. It's not hers. I mean, what's all the fuss about? So she found it, so what? You know, I think she's soft.
You've gone right off, Rita, haven't you?
I've got...
right off it, yeah. All right, you're fine for the company.
Yeah.
Fred, now, you must have had things left in your cab. I mean, you had a nude lady left in it at one point. But what do you think the law is on this particular case?
Well, it's a bit different in cabs, because it gets handed into a police station, and then it gets handed directly back to the cab driver if it's not claimed. I was thinking of Matthew sounding like Rumpole with a Bailey for a moment. But being as it's in a bus garage, I should have thought that the only reason that London Transport sold it off is they need the dough anyway. But, no, I think they can do it. I think she would have lost the case because she was on private property. I would say she'd lose the case And she'd lose it because, A, she was there. I mean, we didn't know if she was travelling by bus or not. But I would say she was under obligation to hand it in and that they had the right to dispose of it.
Fair enough. So the two fellas fine for the coach company. Sandra alone fines for the lady. But here comes the interesting bit, because you've got 50 points each with which to gamble, right? You start off with 50, and depending on how convinced you are that you are right, you can bet any number of points in that 50. Now, Sandra, first and foremost, you found for the lady. How many points will you bet?
10. I just remembered I lost my umbrella once and they could have sold it.
I lost my umbrella in a cab, but I won't go into that right now. Don't think it was Fred. Matthew, how many points? You say you found for the coach company. How many points will you bet?
25 points.
Well now, Fred, Sandra's bet 10. Matthew's bet 25. What will you bet?
With all the confidence in the world, 20.
20. Right then. So, let us now look at this and find out what the real answer is. In fact, Rita won the case. She got the value of the brooch. The judge said that the only way the coach company could claim that they, rather than Rita, were entitled to the brooch was if they had made it clear that the rule finders keepers did not apply to things found on their premises. This they had not done, so Rita was entitled to the brooch above everyone else, except, of course, the true owner, who didn't come forward. So, Rita won that case, Sandra Dickinson won, but you only gave her 900 quid, didn't you?
Well, yeah.
I think, in all fairness, I'll give you half marks. So you go up to 55. Matthew, you bet 25. You were wrong. You're down to 25. Fred, you bet 20 very wisely, having heard what Matthew bet. You are down to 30. And we move on to our second case. This takes us into court where the middle-aged manageress of a small supermarket was charged with stealing £200 from the safe. We'll join the proceedings as the prosecuting counsel is questioning her.
Mrs. Richardson, when you asked your immediate superior at the head office if you could borrow the £200, what reply did he give?
He said no. He said he didn't mind personally, but then he might be obliged to grant the same favour to others.
So he gave you a clear and definite refusal, one which you chose to ignore, and you went ahead and helped yourself to the money from the safe anyway.
I only borrowed it. I had every intention of paying it back, and anyway, I did.
We'll come to the returning of the money in a moment. Let us first examine this term you use of borrowing the money. Normally, when one borrows money, Mrs. Richardson, one specifies how and when it will be paid back. Did you tell anybody how and when you were going to pay back this money?
Yes, I spoke to Mr. Blundell at head office and told him I'd pay back £40 a week out of my wages.
An offer which you have already told us was refused. But you nevertheless took the money secretly from the safe. No one is suggesting, Mrs. Richardson, that you broke into the safe to get the money. Indeed, you are the one holding the keys and are entrusted with the contents of that safe. Does anyone else hold a duplicate key?
No, there are only two keys. One I keep on me and the other's hidden at home.
So, conveniently for you, there was no one else on the staff that would notice the money was missing. For just how long did you intend borrowing the money?
Well, as little time as possible. I mean, I put it back in a fortnight.
Getting the money from what source?
Oh, my sister. She cashed in her premium bonds. But, well, that took 10 clear working days to come through.
But if your sister was able to come up with the money, why did you not go to her for it in the first place?
I needed it in a hurry.
And for what terribly urgent purpose?
Well, to pay for a motorbike for my son. I mean, it was a good bargain, and if I'd waited till my sister's money came through, it'd have gone. I didn't want to disappoint him.
Would that have been so tragic a loss? Was it actually of such great importance that you had to steal £200 from your
pocket? It was not stealing.
That, Mrs. Richardson, is for the jury to decide. I have no further questions, Willard.
I have, my lord. Mrs. Richardson, how would you define stealing?
Well, stealing, I suppose it's taking something that doesn't belong to you.
Yes. The essential point is that the intention of depriving the rightful owner of the article has to be there. Was it ever in your mind that you were not going to pay that money back?
Never.
And did the absence of the £200 upset or interrupt the normal running of the supermarket in any way?
Oh, no, I wouldn't have borrowed it otherwise.
Finally, and I want you to remember you're under oath when you answer this question, Mrs. Richardson, Did you, at the time you took that money, have any thought that you may be acting dishonestly?
Definitely not. Now, that money was kept in the safe, and it was my custody. I was the one with the keys, and I felt it was just as secure when I borrowed it for the 2 weeks as it was in the safe.
Thank you, Mrs. Richardson. My lord, the defense submits that my client cannot be found guilty of stealing money which she simply borrowed, money which was entrusted to her anyway, and which she returned to the safe without causing any loss or obvious inconvenience to its owners.
Now, here's a tricky one, panel. There are the arguments on both sides. Did she borrow or did she steal? From what you've heard, you think the prosecution were able to make the charge of theft stick? What do you think, Matthew?
Oh, dear. Oh, that's terrible.
The prosecution wasn't very nice to her, was he?
She should get off, really, for that. Now, The question is, did she and why? I think you really got me there, you
really
know?
I mean, I don't want to influence your judgment in any way. In fact, I'm not sure you've made a judgment. You think that she got stuck with the charge of theft?
I think she got done. Actually, I do. She would do. They always do, don't they? My instinct says that she should have got off.
Right.
My instinct also says that she didn't get off. Do I make myself sufficiently obscure?
You've got a clear choice. Which would you go for?
You want me to say one way or the other?
Well, oh, good heck.
I knew you would.
It will save the news being late.
Yes, I think she got off.
She got away with it.
Well,
just lost some more points. I knew I'd get you down with it. What about you, Fred? What do you think?
Guilty of using an old Crossroads script. She's admitted she took the money,
right?
Even though she intended to give it back.
Mm-hmm.
She's also admitted that the governor's told her she cannot have the money because it would mean extending the franchise elsewhere.
Right.
The money was her responsibility, so I think guilty because the money couldn't be at hand at the time. If the governor had wanted it 2 days into the agreement to buy the bike, he couldn't have had it.
All right. Guilty, you find her. Sandra Dickinson, how do you feel about this one?
I think she was guilty as well.
Huh. And why do you think she was found guilty?
Well, because it was her responsibility to look after the money, and she was told that she couldn't take any out, and she went ahead and did it, and she didn't start paying it back until they found it was gone.
Two say guilty, one says not guilty. I think Matthew Kelly said she wasn't guilty. So, Matthew, I'm going to ask you first of all, you've got 25 points to play with here. You could either come back with a great rush or you could go straight down the drain.
I'm going to lash out here with a whole 10 points.
10 points,
yeah,
are you?
Whoa,
well done. Now, Fred, you say she is guilty. You've gone the opposite way. You've got 30 points to play with. What will you bet?
With all the humanity of Judge Jeffries, I'll settle for 15 points.
15 points, you will say, right? Okay, and Sandra, you also say guilty for the same reasons. You've got 55 to play with here. What will you go for?
I'll go for 15. I have no confidence at all, and I will probably be wrong.
All right, fine. Let me tell you then that Mrs. Richardson was found guilty.
Of course she was.
The money that she spent on that motorbike was not hers at the time she took it, and she clearly knew it wasn't. The judge told the jury that they had to apply their own standards when deciding whether the appropriation of the money was dishonest. They were satisfied that it was, so therefore she was found guilty. Now, I did say I would make it 2-1 if you gave me the right reasons. I will accept both Sandra and Fred gave me the right reason, inasmuch as they majored on the fact that he told her she could not have the money, and she still took it. So I'm going to double your points for you. You'll be pleased about that, because it takes you up to 85, Sandra. Fred, it takes you up to 60.
Oh, don't tell me so.
No. You've still got 15 points to play with, Matthew. You might be all right.
It's only the points you can play with, by the way.
Last case coming up now, and this started in a pub at lunchtime on Sunday. There were more customers than usual, and the lady proprietor didn't have as much time as usual to listen to the somewhat painful jokes of one of her regulars.
Listen to this one. He'll kill you. Did you hear the one about the widowed alligator? His wife was an old bag.
Oh, yes, very funny. Right down to your usual standard.
All right. How about this fellow tells the Irish taxi driver, look, I'm in a hurry. Go through the lights. So he took him via Blackpool. Oh,
got any more like that?
Dozens.
Hey, look, you'll have to excuse me, Terry. There's a whole party just come in.
All right.
Oh, why do they always come in when we're closing? Right, gentlemen, what can I do you for?
Oh, there's a dangerous question to ask a rugby player, especially when we've just won a match.
Ah, yeah, well, I should tell you that I'm married to a 6'4" wrestler who's insanely jealous.
Oh, dear.
Now, what would you like in the way of drinks? Better get a move on, because we're closing in 20 minutes.
Right, then, we'll start off with a pint of best bitter each.
Ah, right, well, there's two...
10 of us.
10 pints of best bitter.
Yes, but before you go, can I ask you a little favour? It's just that me and the lads, well... We just won this match, see? And being a captain, I'd like to buy him at least a couple of drinks and make a bit of a speech, you know.
If you keep me standing here, it'll take me so long to pour these drinks, there'll be no time for any more.
You've got a private room upstairs, haven't you?
How do you know?
To be honest, the language usually gets a bit strong after a game, so if we could be off on our own, we wouldn't upset your other customers.
Well, yeah, but by the time you get your drinks up there, it'll be time to come down again, so what's the point?
The point, Carriad, is that once we're upstairs, we're out of sight of the public eye. And all the drinks we'll be ordering, which will swell your coffers, will be strictly between you and us, see?
You mean you want me to serve you drinks after hours?
Oh, just for one celebration. You'll come off it. You always do it on Saturday afternoon.
Hey.
One of your regulars, won't mention his name. He recommended me to bring the lads here because he said you'd be willing to bend the rules a little for us rugby players. As long as we're discreet about it, of course.
Well, I'll have to think about it.
Oh, come on. You've done it before. But why not for us, eh?
Oh, all right. Anything for a quiet life. I'll go and pull your 10 pints.
Yes, my girl.
Yeah, Annie. I've been waiting for you to come back. I've thought of another one for you.
Oh, yeah. And I ordered this one.
It's brand new. It's about these two vandals. One said to the other, "Here, do you want to share a cab?" And his mate said, "Yeah, good idea. You take the wheels and I'll take the radio and battery." That's a good one, isn't it? You can tell that to the inspector.
What inspector?
That bloke sitting over there in the corner. He's CID. He's the one that did that landlord at the Rose and Crown for serving after hours. You want to watch him?
Hey, keep your voice down, Terry. Look, are you sure that's the same fella?
Positive.
Terry, you've just earned yourself a drink on the house. How'd you like a double whiskey?
Well, I wouldn't say no.
But I certainly will. Excuse me, sir.
Yes, Carriad?
About your suggestion for serving drinks upstairs.
Yes?
I'm afraid it's completely out of the question. I run a law-abiding establishment here and would never even consider for one moment serving drinks after hours.
Now, you might be slightly puzzled, panel, because nobody seems to have broken the law yet, but let me tell you this. That conversation between Annie and Terry was overheard by the plainclothes policeman who was seated in the bar. And he arrested Terry for obstructing the police in the execution of their duty. He had warned Annie and had thereby frustrated their planned raid. Now, could he be found guilty of obstructing the police in the course of their duty? What do you think, friend?
Every police inspector I've ever known is always in there having afters anyway. No, I don't think he can. He merely mentioned to her that he'd done another publican for a charge of selling drinks after hours.
That's right.
At no point had he said to the publican, "They are about to do you, and if you go ahead, they will in fact be raiding you."
Fair enough. So you find that he will be found not guilty of obstructing the police. Sandra, what do you think?
I agree with that. I mean, all he was doing was chatting up the barmaid.
Remember, the policeman did overhear the conversation.
That's sort of getting like freedom of speech, isn't it? I mean, if you can't carry on a conversation... I don't think he would be found guilty, and if he was, then the law ought to be changed.
Matthew Kelly?
Well, the licensing laws are potty anyway, aren't they? I think the inspector should be done.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, if he overheard that conversation, why didn't he just go up to the landlady and say, "If you do that, then I'll do you because it's against the law"? Does that make him an agent provocateur?
Hey, beautiful. So Matthew, decide whether or not Terry got done.
No.
Here go the other 15 points. Well, now, panel, this could be very interesting because you've all come to the same conclusion, you see. So let me first of all ask you, Fred, how many of your 60 points will you bet?
I'll bet 40 that he got off.
Right. How about Sandra Dickinson? 85 points you've got.
I'll go 20.
Matthew Kelly, you got 15 points. You think he got off as well.
Have we got any more cases to do?
No.
Right. The whole lot.
All 15 points.
Just like that.
That he got off, but remember, yeah. I could double it up if you were right. Unfortunately, you were wrong.
I knew it.
Terry was found guilty of willfully obstructing the police officers in the execution of their duty. His warning, the judge said, had stopped the policeman observing how Annie usually conducted her bar on a Saturday afternoon, particularly where rugby players were concerned. So Terry, I'm sorry to say, got done for willful obstruction. And there's a bit of willful obstruction about the scores as well. Matthew Kelly, you don't really stand much chance of winning tonight. You haven't got any points at all. Fred, you've got 20, but our winner is Sandra Dickinson with 65 points.
Oh, what a...
I'm afraid that's all the case we've got time for tonight. Tune in at the same time next week. Till then, let me say goodnight on behalf of this week's panel of Matthew Kelly, Sandra Dickinson and Fred Housegoe, our Law Game Repertory Company, Miranda Forbes, Steve Hodson and Vincent Brimble, deviser and writer Brad Ashton, legal advisor Doug Cracknell, producer Jan Ravens and me, Shaw Taylor. Goodnight.